everybody. Welcome back to Moscow. Welcome back to the Moscow Mules. I'm Shay Bowes, joined, as per usual, by the man with the plan, Augie, who's waiting to fill in the blanks left by my massive disinterest in detail. Yeah, terrible. But there's always a job for everybody. That's what they say. And of course, there's only one game in town right now, and of course it centres around the Big Don. The Big Don is up, he's down, Augie, right? He's going left on Monday, going right on a Tuesday, straight ahead on a Wednesday, and on Thursday he claims he hasn't been anywhere. Yeah, but there's other people from the American political landscape, let's say, who you might have thought, right, Augie, had gone away. People like Kamala. You know, so I often say, as bad as things get in the US, whether you love the Big Don, whether you hate him, whether you think it's a clown world, or, you know, it's the best thing that's happened since sliced bread, things could have always got much, much worse if this, you know, delusionist in chief, Kamala, had have actually got elected. Yeah, for real. She's back. She's back in action. And as they say in Ireland, she hasn't gone away, you know. Huggy, run the video.
Are you kidding me? This guy wants to create a ballroom for his rich friends while completely turning a blind eye to the fact that babies are going to starve when the SNAP benefits end in just hours from now? Come on.
Augie, is she drunk? Just say it.
Che, you know what's the funniest part about this? She's talking about babies starving. Meanwhile, Kamala is asking around $200,000 to $300,000 for her to talk.
Yeah, so she charges, and you can check it out, Ilya will post it up, about $200,000 to $300,000 to do an after dinner speech. You know, you want to, you know, put everyone to sleep after the wedding or the christening. Just get Kamala in and she'll, you know, drone on in that horrible monotone idiotic voice of hers that used to put us to sleep regularly during the presidential debates. And she was complaining there, Augie, about something quite interesting, something that we've been keeping an eye on. And that is the Big Don's remodeling. Yeah, he's been doing a bit of work, let's say, around at the house, right, Augie?
Absolutely correct, Chi.
Yeah, a little bit of work. He's basically knocked half the White House down, you know? I mean, it's not like the President of the United States, right, has to kind of ask anyone's permission to really do this. When you move into the White House, it's basically your house, and you can do anything you want. And just like none of the Big Don's advisors correct him when he solves a war in Azerbaijan, or, you know, he makes, you know, Lex Luthor and Superman sit down and end this terrible war between them. Nobody actually corrects him because everybody's terrified. You know, the emperor has no clothes, but everybody is absolutely shitting themselves to say it. Let's have a look at what, you know, Augie and our friends in the graphics department think might actually be going on at the White House and how it might actually turn out. Yes, Krasny Ploshad, Red Square, not too far away. Run the video, Augie. This is the... But in fairness to the Big Don, you know, you got to give it to him. He does at least think he's the peace president, which, you know, there's got to be a good side. Even a stop clock tells the right time twice a day. And as we say here, we'll back the Don when he needs backing, and we'll call him out when he's making a complete tit of himself on the United States. Now, somebody else who's certainly making a complete tit of themselves on the United States is Lindsay Nosferatu Graham. Now, our friend Linda Lindsay, who's absolutely not a homosexual, correct, Dougie?
And absolutely not a vampire eating human blood for his lunch or something.
He's not a vampire eating human blood for his lunch. He doesn't have certain moles on certain parts of his body, which numerous male prostitutes have testified that he does. And he isn't a rampant homosexual who buys sex from young men. We are saying that that is not the case. Now, Lindsay Nosferatu Linda Graham has learned a new word, Dougie, right? We've noticed. He's learned a new word. He's forgotten the word Ukraine, because if you recall, for the last couple of months, he's been saying that Ukraine gonna win the war, they're gonna take back every bit of territory in Ukraine, gonna do this, that, and the other. He's learned a new word, and that new word is, Augie, Venezuela. It's not Venezuela. It's Venezuela. V-E-N-Z-W-E-L-A. It's like Vuvuzuela. It's from South Africa. But this is Venezuela. So Lindsay has learned a new word, and that word is Venezuela. And guess what? He hasn't learned about Venezuela in that he wants to go there on a nice camping holiday or look at the beautiful ecology or maybe study the maps of the biggest oil reserves on planet Earth, which has nothing to do with why the U.S. is suddenly interested in that country. Augie, Lindsay wants to go to Venezuela because Lindsay wants to take the f*** over, depose the elected president, and turn the country into Iraq 2.0. Yeah, for sure. Surprise, surprise. Run the video, Augie.
The examples you're citing also involve ground troops. You said time for Maduro to go.
Yeah.
That sounds a lot like regime change. Are you talking about troops on the ground?
Yeah. I'll let the president speak to that. I'm talking about a briefing that would expand military operations potentially from the sea to the land. It is time for Maduro to go. It was time for Ortega to go. You know, the Monroe Doctrine has been robustly applied by President Trump. So these military assets are moving forward to deal with a country that's got blood on its hands when it comes to Americans by flooding our country with drugs.
So Lindsay Linda Nosferatu Graham is talking about blood on their hands. Is this, Augie, the most pernicious demonstration of hypocrisy that you've ever seen in your little Armenian life?
Probably Zelensky can overdo Mr. Lindsay, but he's very close.
Now, while Lindsay is giving out about drugs, and of course, we're all against drugs. Drugs cause a lot of problems in lots of societies. But let's have a look at downtown San Francisco. You know, a lot of people in America, a lot of big corporations, the CIA, were up to their tits in importing drugs into America, Nicaragua, you know, back in the 80s, you know, the Iran-Contra affair. So if you're going to bomb somewhere, Augie, you might consider bombing this place. Run the video.
Haters will be like, go to downtown and make a video and see how great it is. Have you been to downtown San Francisco?
I don't think bombing Venezuela or the entirety of Latin America will help solve this.
So clean. What?
A lot of this stuff is cooked up in labs in Mexico or in the United States itself. You know, you're not going to stop people using drugs because you bomb Venezuela. It's all bullshit. And again, nothing to do with Venezuela having the biggest oil reserves on planet Earth. It's absolutely nothing to do with it. Put that out of your mind. And as if to demonstrate that, Augie has dug up a very interesting video of the ex-ambassador to Venezuela, basically saying the quiet part out loud, by accident, really, you know, saying that, you know, Venezuela, how dare they? They've got all these rare minerals, gold, you know, diamonds, vast quantities of oil and gas, you know, beautiful environment. How kind of dare they have that and not love the United States of America? Because if you have all those kind of resources and you're in the neighborhood, you gotta love the United States of America. Check out the Monroe Doctrine. We get to decide who you love and who you don't love. And if you don't love us, we're gonna free the shit out of you. Yeah, that's what's about to happen to poor old Caracas. Run the video, Augie.
This is a very bad actor sitting on top of the world's largest known reserves of oil, plus the critical minerals that will fuel the 21st century economy, and he's in bed with our strategic competitors.
Yeah, what's that got to do with drugs? The drug is money and power. Don't forget it. And it's not as if things are looking too rosy in Europe. You know, the strategic competitor now, the United States, they're saying that out loud too these days. Quite remarkable stuff. And talking about Europe, you are also talking, apparently, about Israel. Israel takes part in the European Song Contest, you know. You know, one of the biggest trading partners with Israel in Europe is Ireland. Yeah, shock horror. Check it out. It's a fact. And there's also now talk, right, Augie, that Canada might join the European Union to help gang up on the big Don and his horrible, you know, Democrats. Because that's what they are. They got elected. Over 70 million people voted for the big Don. You don't like it? You're a Democrat. Yeah, work that one out. So while Justin Trudeau, who screwed the pooch completely in Canada, just asked the truckers, is off banging Katy Perry while the wife's at home, changed the kids' nappies. Maybe the kids are too old for nappies at this stage. I just thought I'd put the boot into Justin. How are things going, Augie, in good old Canada? I know a thing or two about a thing or two. Yeah, and the old maple leaf, you know, it's basically gone down the right, Augie?
Absolutely correct, Che, and we're going to illustrate this with our next video. But before that, I'll just give you a number of the homeless in Toronto. Back in 2021, there was around 7,000 homeless people. Nowadays, it's 15,000 homeless people. So in 4 years, the number doubled.
And when you have a lot of homeless people living on the streets, as we saw in Paris, you get a lot of pressure on facilities for those people to wash. So they seem to have come up with a very interesting solution in downtown Toronto, where some of the street dwellers have decided to take to the buses to sort of, you know, environmentally friendly wash themselves by using public transport. They keep telling us to do it. Run the video, Augie. Oh, here we go. So this is a homeless dude having a shower. At least he's washing himself. He's having a shower on a bus.
Yeah, I think it's European Union quality of life stuff, I guess.
I think it's a bus or a tram, but either way, that means they're straight into the EU. Straight in. Now, you will notice that Canada and the UK still have a very strong link, Augie. They have the same head of state, King Charlie, probably the last king, if he ever was king, of the United Kingdom and the Commonwealth, I say. What, old boy? He just had a bit of trouble with his younger brother, who was basically screwing around with kids with old Jeff Epstein. Now, Charles is the head of state of the United Kingdom, of course, but he's also head of state of Canada. Yeah, that's why Canada doesn't have a president, Australia doesn't either, because their head of state is the King of England. So you think things are bad in Canada with the dudes having a share on the bus, homeless figures out of control, a lot of trade troubles with their neighbours in the south, the US. How are things back home, Augie? I mean, back in the old Blighty, back in the old, you know, crown jewels. Don't mention the war, Macron. And things are getting going from bad to worse, I think. They're not even bothering to go into the banks anymore to, do a stick up, put your hands up, show me the money. They're just basically stealing whole segments of the bank, right, Augie?
And, Che, as I recently dug up, a home is getting burgled in the UK every 3 minutes. So during this show, I think 8 homes will be robbed clean in the UK. I hope you enjoyed the watch.
Well, run the video, Uggs. So somebody's actually live filming this?
Yeah, you just pulled the entire ATM. There it is.
So there's no cops, there's no security, but somebody gets to film it. They took the whole thing out of the wall, full of money, and then they drop it in the back of a pickup truck, and they just drive off. Look.
It's like real-life Grand Theft Auto. Perfect. They can't even fit it in. Amazing. The heist of a century.
Wow. Unbelievable. It's kind of the term smash and grab. There it is, right there. Now, of course, the UK is a very close ally now of Germany. They've had a couple of arguments in the past before. Let's not mention them. One or two arguments in the past that kind of burnt the whole Europe. And by the way, the English are, after all, Germans. What's the name of Andrew now, Prince Andrew? He's actually Andrew Windsor Mountbatten. Yeah, made up names, all made up. Check it out. Now, Germany and the UK, very, very close, Anglo-Saxons, Saxony and Germany. And in Germany, there seems to be a sense of kind of, Augie, what would you say, third time lucky? You know, they tried it twice. We're going to go again. And they put out a very interesting video. Now, there's something about these Germans and their Ukrainian sort of bootlickers and torchlit parades. They kind of like a bit of a torchlit parade, don't they? The sound of music, the Anschluss, a few torchlit parades, a bit of Nuremberg, a bit of salt and pepper, a few Nazis thrown in for good measure. And in Germany, they actually are calling it the Eastern Front. Yeah, maybe they've forgotten what happened to them on the Eastern Front. Maybe they're forgetting what happened to them in Kursk. Maybe they're forgetting what happened to them in Stalingrad and then in Berlin. But anyway, they've certainly remembered how to light their torches and trot around like a bunch of little brown shirts, black shirts, whatever you'd like yourself. Let's have a look. Run the video, Augie. I
can't believe they're that retarded.
Die bauen hier gerade etwas auf, was bekannt haben. In einigen Jahren wird man sagen können,
this, I think I've seen this film before, Augie.
I can't tell you what's the ending gonna be.
Yeah, I think it ends in Berlin. With Berlin looks like a car park. Well, anyway, third time lucky. Third time's a charm, boys. Third time's a charm. Now, let's not forget, the German army is quite small. The British army is tiny, 72,000 people. The French army, too. Nobody wants to join the army in the West. So, Augie, who is going to fight these wars against Russia, China, the Blue Heart Brigade, the Libtards, the Rainbow Flag Brigade? These people, these diabetic, transgender, ADHD brigades. Nobody wants to join the military in any of these countries because they've completely lost touch with their martial culture. It was different the Second World War, different even in the 1960s. Nobody wants to fight these wars, right?
Well, except your political leaders.
Yeah, the political leaders. And guess what? They aren't going to fight the wars because they'll be in their bunkers counting up their big pensions for after the war, when I'm sure they're going to work as consultants for anybody, maybe even the Russians when they're rebuilding Berlin. Let's have a look at what's actually going to happen to you guys in the West if they get their war with Russia. Because remember, you think that it's all happening by accident in Ukraine, dragging people off the streets, seeing, will the media just turn the other way very conveniently because they're defending freedom. Guess what? You guys are next. Run the video, Augie.
This is you, Augie. Off to the front line.
Gone. Yeah. And you notice something now. At the beginning of the war, when Ukraine had to start dragging people off the streets, and they're dragging people off the streets because so few people are dying, right, Augie? Nobody's getting dragged off the streets in Russia, but Russia has lost, 100 million soldiers. You know, Ukraine hasn't lost anybody. It lost like 30,000 people, according to Zelensky, right? And because they haven't lost anybody, they're dragging people off the street by their thousands every week. Yeah, right, Augie?
Absolutely correct, Chief.
Yeah. And by the way, note from Augie, all these people are being democratically dragged off the streets, so it's okay. Now, guess what happens? Because Ukraine is dragging so many people off the streets democratically, and everybody loves Zelensky, let's forget the fact that 27% of people now only want the war to continue, according to Gallup in the US. Yeah, most Ukrainians want the war to end, but they're living in a police state. And guess what happens when, you know, the narco-fuhrers, bully boys and meat thieves come calling? More and more in Ukraine, people are fighting back. Let's have a look what happens when you push people a little bit too far, even in good old Slava Ukraine. Run the video, Augie.
They're using tires to break the windows of the bus.
Yeah.
And now they're turning it over. There you go.
I mean, why not? What do you expect people to do?
Don't they all want to die for Zelensky?
No, they want to die for von der Leyen, Augie. They want to die for von der Leyen. Come on, I told you. So, as you notice, the Western media really doesn't want to tell certain stories. It kind of lies by omission, and something Augie and I have noticed. You know, one little viewpoint, you know, cut out the rest of the picture. But one person who's been very good at trying to show the whole picture, heroically, at great cost to himself, his career, has been our friend Tucker Carlson. He's really been a voice of reason, right, Augie, about this conflict in Ukraine. Just calling it out for what it is. He was one of the first to say it was a proxy war. He was one of the first to try and expose the major corruption in Ukraine. Things that the media, which he worked for at Fox News, were absolutely developing antibodies to, let's say. I wonder why. Let's have a listen to Tucker Carlson, basically schooling, I would say, a Polish warmonger. Now, I've met a lot of Polish people, I have a lot of Polish friends, and I can't seem to find all these people who want to go to war with Russia. Most of them want to get on with their lives, feed their families, and do their thing. They don't want any more war. The Poles and the Russians, remember, lost a lot of people in the Second World War. It just so happens that it's people who lost nobody, essentially, who want this war. Let's have a listen to Tucker basically laying down a few truth bombs for our Polish friends. Run the video, Augie.
I think we really, as NATO, and the values that the NATO should uphold in principles should be respected, and I just want to
say, I've got a better idea.
Why doesn't Poland go to war with Russia?
If you're upset about it, why don't you go defend Ukraine? Sorry to be a jerk, but why am I paying for this? This is hurting the United States. I mean, look, I've tried to be reasonable. I understand your concerns. I don't think they're frivolous, and I definitely understand your history, and I think, you know, it's all real. And I love the Poles. On the other hand, this is a regional concern. Why am I involved in this? Why do my children live under the looming threat of nuclear war to protect the sovereignty of Ukraine or save Poland? Like, I like Poland, I like Ukraine, but like, I'm an American. Not one more dollar. No. Fight the war yourself if it's so important.
Boom. I mean, what can you add? What can you add? Now, we're nearing the end of this episode, but, you know, we were kind of casting our eyes over the running order, Augie, right? And we said, there's no dudes in dresses in this one, you know? So we decided to add a little bit of salt and pepper because, you know, we want to remind you what the values that you're going to die for are now in Europe, right? It's not like the Russians have come anywhere near your country. They haven't done anything to you. They haven't invaded anybody. They haven't killed any of your people. They haven't attacked a NATO member. They haven't attacked an EU member. The Russians have the biggest country on earth. Yeah, it's a continent. They don't need Lithuania. They don't need Ireland. Oh, Jesus. Anyway, as Augie said, let's keep them tuned in to what they're going to die for. Yeah, we love it. Dudes in dresses. Here we go. Run the video, Augie.
So it's a transgender who is peeing wine into people's glasses. Oh my God. When you're gonna be dragged off to die in the World War III, I want you to think about this transgender.
Is it gone yet?
I'm turning it off. I'm turning this off.
Please, put it off. Turn it off. Even I can't look at this. So, dear friends, that brings us to the end of another episode of the Moscow Mules. We hope you've enjoyed watching as much as we've enjoyed making it. And, you know, not much has changed in the global landscape, let's say. But one thing has caught our eye, and that's this massive investment in AI. And, you know, the warning notes coming from people like Bill Gates that in, you know, 10 years' time, you'll only be working a two-day week because nobody will have a job. AI is going to take over. This obsession with a virtual world. And imagine how you're treated now in a very real world globally. What's going to happen when the computers are in charge? It ain't going to be pretty. And the numbers say it too. 0.1% growth in US GDP in the first half of 2025 if you remove data centers. That's the way it's going. We're all going to become irrelevant. Well, even if it's an AI Augie and an AI Shay, we're going to be here next week, same time, same place, trying to annoy the people in power and, you know, get under the skin of the bad guys. And we hope that the good guys, that's you at home, are in the back seat with us. We'll see you at same time, same place next week. Until then, God bless. Mind yourselves.